All right, we're starting here on the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Bet, the mission of the new Perek. Here we're speaking about the Todah and the makeup of the different lefamim of the Todah. First of all, we're going to start with the quantity of flour that is used to make the lachmei Todah. And that is the Todah Haita ba chamesh sa'in Yerushalmiot, from 5 sa'ah of the Yerushalmi measurements, shem shesh midbariot, which are equivalent to 6 from the midbar. And that is because they increased the size of the volumes twice, actually. But this time, the first time it happened was between the Midbar and Yerushalayim. And they increased it by a sixth. 1/6, but it's what's called Shtut Milibar. It's a concept that we're going to bump into again in the Gemara, which is that in calculating the fractions, there are two ways that you could possibly look at it. You can calculate a fraction by taking the number that you have, multiplying it by the fraction, and then you'll know what you have. So if you have a 100, and you want to add on 20%, so then you take 20, because that's 20% of 100, and then afterwards you have 120. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it is that the new number, after you've added on this additional amount, the excess amount that you have will be 20% of the new number. So, for instance, in this case, if you have 100, and you want it to be 20%, you'd actually have to add 25%. You'd add 25 to that, 125. That 25 is 1/5, 20% of the new number, of the 125. In the Gemara, those are known as what's called milagav and milabar. Milagav is what we know as fractions, the way that we do fractions today. Milabar is this alternate way that we calculated it. And the Gemara in general uses that as the method for calculation, milabar. So there's an easy way to remember how to do it is if you take any fraction. For instance, here we were using 20%. If you take 1/5, then milagav is 1/5. Milibar is if you just subtract one number from the denominator, you'll get that number. So it's 1/4. So it's 1/4 of the old number, 1/5 of the new number. So over here, that's what happened. You have chamesh yushalmiot that derived from shesh midbariot, which is 1/6. They increased the volume of the measure of the sa'ah by a sixth. And therefore, you need only 5 of the yushalmiot to get the equivalent of what you had in the 6th of the Midbar. Shtei Eifot, when they made the Lachmei Todah, it was comprised of 2 Eifa, Haifa Shalosh Sa'in, and the Eifa is equal to 3 Sa'ah, so that's how you get to the Shesh Midbariot, which is you have an Eifa, which is 3 Sa'ah, 2 Eifa means 6 Sa'ah, so those are the 6 Sa'ah Midbariot for the Lachmei Todah, which then, when they increased the volume of the measurements, resulted in 5 of Yerushalmiot. Esrim Isaron. And that's the equivalent to 20 Isaron. So now Isaron, underlying the word is the word Eser. Isaron is 1/10. And Isaron is 1/10 of an Eifa. And so therefore, if you have 2 Eifot, you're going to have 20 Isaron. And the Mishnah explains that when they break up the 20 Isaron, it breaks up into Asara L'chametz, of those 20 Yisaron, 10 go towards Chametz, 10 go towards Matzah. In the 40 Chalot of the Todah, 10 of them are Chametz, 30 of them are Matzah. So that means that you're going to have 10 Yisaron for the 10 of Chametz, or in essence, each Chala is going to be equivalent of an Yisaron. On the other hand, for the 30 Matzot, you're also going to only share it through 10 Yisaron. So that means that each set is going to have 3 1/3 worth of Yisaron, and each challah is going to be 1/3 of an Yisaron. You have 30 matzot inside of 10 Yisaron, so each matzah, each challah, is going to be the equivalent of 1/3 Yisaron. Asara l'chametz, Yisaron l'challah. Those 10, as we just explained, that go to chametz, result in the each challah having 1 Yisaron. Asara l'matzah, and the 10 Yisaron that go towards the matzot, the 30 matzot, ubematzah shalosh minim, and because by matzah there are 3 different types, chalot, rikikim, urevucha, those are the 3 types of lachmei todah that we have. Chalot and rikikim we have already discussed and described in the previous parak. That has to do with when you put in the oil, whether it's before you bake it in the blila process, or is it mishicha, you do it afterwards. And the chalot matzot, rikikim matzot, as I just explained, are very similar to the Mafet Tanur that has those 2. Revucha, we've also discussed a little earlier in the Masechta, but the word revucha, according to most, has to do with boiling it, and you have to boil the dough, not just fry it, somewhat akin to a bagel. Although it's not clear when the boiling took place, it was before or after the Tigun, and the Rishonim discuss the different possibilities as to how they actually made the Rivucha. And the Rivucha is very similar to the Minchat Chavitin that also has a requirement of Murbechet and also has a Machavat. So the Minchat Chavitin and this Rivucha are very similar in nature. But Nimtzu, Shlosha Esronim Ushlish Techo Min Umin, because you have three different minim, and you're dividing up ten yisaron, that means three and a third for each min, ushlosh chalot yisaron. And each three chalot are going to equal an yisaron, or in other words, you're saying, each chala is one third of an yisaron. Ubimidah yushalmiot. So that was in the midah of the midbar. The midah of the midbar, you have two eifah, that is six sa'ah, which is the equivalent of 20 yisaron, and then you divide it up. In the Midah Yushalmiot, Ayush Loshim Kav. It was equal to 30 Kav. The Shal Yushalmiot, remember there's 5 Sa'ot Yushalmiot for every 6 of the Midbar. So using 5 Sa'ot Yushalmiot. And we know that the Sa'ah is equivalent to 6 Kav. So if you have 5 Sa'ah Yushalmiot, and each Sa'ah contains within 6 Kav, 5 times 6 is 30 Kav. That's what the Mishnah said over here. Ayu shloshim kav. Chamisha asar the chametz, v'chamisha asar the matzah. Then you split it evenly. Half of it goes towards the chametz, so you have 15 kav for the chametz, 15 kav for the matzah. Chamisha asar the chametz, kav v'meksa l'chala. Since you put 15 towards the chametz, and the chametz is 10 loaves, then 15 divided by 10 is 1.5 kav for each loaf. Chamisha asar the matzah, 15 kav goes toward the matzot. U'matzah shalosh minim. And by the matzah, you have 3 different types. Chalot, rikikim, urevucha. Nimtzeu, chamisha kavin, lechol min, umin. That means that you have 5 kav for each min. Ushtei chalot, lekav. And each chala is really equivalent of half a kav. And therefore, if you put 2 of them together, you get a full kav. So they're just the 2 calculations based on the midbar, based on what was in Yerushalayim. And now the Gemara is going to try to understand how this all came about. Ha, toda ita ba'a chamesh sa'in Yerushalmiot. Mina hanemile. How do you know that? How do you know that it comes from 5 sa'a Yerushalmiot? Amar Rav Chista de Amar Kra. Because the Pasuk says the following. We're now going to quote a Pasuk from Yechezkel. And in that Pasuk in Yechezkel, the Gemara is going to darshan from that Pasuk in Yechezkel the measurements or the volumetric equivalents of what we are speaking about. The pasuk is found in Yechezkel Perek Mamhei. We're actually going to use this pasuk a number of times, but here to start with, the pasuk that we're quoting is pasuk Yud Aleph in Perek Mamhei in Yechezkel Heifa Ve'abat Tochen Echadiyeh. So first of all, the pasuk tells us there is a measurement called a bat, and there's a measurement called an Eifa. And the pasuk says that the eifa and the bat, tochen echadiyeh, they're of the same size. So first of all, they're equivalent, and now you have eifa and bat are synonymous. The next part of the pasuk says, v'seit ma'asara chomer habat. So it says that a chomer contains within it 10 bat, or in essence, a bat is 10% of a chomer. Number 2, Asirit haChomer haEifa. Similarly, the Eifa is 1/10 of a Chomer. That would make sense. If an Eifa and a Bat are equal, and the Bat is 10% of a Chomer, an Eifa is also going to be a 10% of a Chomer. Iyeh matkunto. That is the size of these measurements. So that's the first thing that we're quoting in the Gemara here, which is, Amar Rav Chista d'Amar Kra, haEifa v'Bat tochen echad iyeh, and then, ma Bat shalosh sa'in. Just like a bat is 3 sa'ah, af eifa shalosh sa'in. So too, the eifa is equal to 3 sa'ah. Ubat gufa min olam. How do you know that a bat is 3 sa'ah? The question here is we're trying to move from measure to measurement. If certain amount of information from the pasuk that we just quoted, which is an eifa and a bat are equal, and both of them are equal to 10% of a chomer. So the Gemara says, okay, now we know that a bat is 3 sa'ah, and if it's equivalent to an eifa is also 3 sa'ah. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. 2 eifot equals 6 sa'ah. Gemara wants to know, bat kufa minolan. How do you know that a bat equals three sa? If because it says, as we just quoted the pasuk there, Lasait masara chomer habat, because the bat is 10% of a chomer, eifa namiktiv. The next line in the pasuk is, Vasirita chomer haifa, that the eifa is 10% of a chomer. So if you know what the size of a chomer is, and therefore you know what the size of a bat is, because it's 10% of a chomer, implying that a chomer is 30 sa'ah. So if you know that information already, then you don't need to learn it from bat to eifa, both of them in the pasuk. It says, a bat is 10% of chomer, and eifa is 10% of a chomer. So if you know the size of a chomer, you know that both of those are 10%. Why do you have to learn eifa from bat? You could learn eifa straight from chomer, just like you learn bat. Ella, chomer lo yadana kama. You don't reason you can't do that is because we have no idea what the size of a chomer is. Hachanami, so too by the case of the bat, lo yadana kama. We have no idea what the size of the chomer is. So it's hard to know what 10% of a chomer is if you have no idea what of a chomer is. Ella mi'ofko. You learn it out from a pasuk that is three psukim later, the pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudalit says, V'chok ha-shemen ha-bat ha-shemen masara bat min akor. So then we're speaking about the oil and the measurement of the bat of the oil, and it says that a bat is equal to 1/10 of a kor, or 10% of a kor. Aseret ha-batim chomer, and 10 batim equal a chomer, or in essence, it's 10%, meaning that a bat is both 10% of a chomer and 10% of a kor. Ki aseret habatim chomer. It's a repetition of the same thing that it said before. 10 batim equal a chomer. What this pasuk teaches you is that a chomer and a kor are synonymous. So now you have three pieces of information from the psukim, and through that we're going to deduct what we need to know. The first thing we know is that an eifa equals a bat. The second thing we know is that both an eifa and a bat are 10% of a chomer. The last piece of information given to us by the pasuk is that a chomer equals a kor. So if chomer equals kor, eifa equals bat, eifa and bat are both 10% of a chomer and 10% of a kor. So now the one piece of information that we actually know is what the size of a kor is. And that's because a kor was still in use in their time, and a kor is equal to 30 sa'ah. Once you do that, everything falls into place. If a kor equals 30 sa'ah, that means a chomer also equals 30 sa'ah. If a chomer equals 30 sa'ah, and a bat is 10% of a kor, or 10% of a chomer, then it's going to equal 3 sa'ah. Then a bat and an eifa are equal, and that means that an eifa, which is also 10%, is equal to 3 sa'ah. So between the two psukim and that one piece of information that we know that a kor equals 30 sa'ah, you're able to conclude then that an eifa and a bat, which are 10% of a kor, 10% of a chomer, are equal to 3 sa'ah. And so that's what the Gemara says here. Now, Amar Mashmuel. So Shmuel gives us now three different halachot that are important. Emosifim amidot yoter mishtut. When you increase the measurements and you want to make them larger, you're not allowed to have them move in a single increase more than 1/6. V'lo matbeya yoter mishtut. Similarly, if you're going to move a coin size and increase the size of the coin, you can't move it more than 1/6. Likely, these two are correlated. There's the same, whatever reason you are limited to moving it up a 6th volumetric measurement would be the same reason why you can only move a coinage or currency up by its value by a 6th. Now remember, when they're increasing the value of a currency in their day, that literally means that they increased the weight or the size of the coin, because that was the determination of how much the coin was worth. V'mistaker, someone who profits, lo yistaker yoter mishtut, should not profit more than a profit margin of 1/6. In all of these cases, let's just assume that it's a 1/6 milabar, which really means it's a 5th or 20% of the number in the way that we calculate today. My time, what's the reason here? Ilem mishum afkuye taro. If you think it's going to drive the market prices up, iachi shtut nami lo, then why should you be able to increase it at all? If the fear is increasing market prices, then why does it matter if you increase it 1/6, or you increase it by 50%, whatever the number is, it's going to cause that problem. Ella mishum ona'a. The problem is ona'a, which is what we discussed in Baba Metzia, the overcharging of an individual. And that overcharging then is going to cause problems in the transaction. Kehechi delohave bitul mekach. In order that it won't cause the transaction to fail. Right, so let's take the two parts of this. The first part of which is, what are we afraid of? Why are they afraid of inflation if they move up more than a sixth? So the way that the Miuchas Rashi explains over here, the Kevan Shemegadlin Mosifim Adamim. Since you now increase the volume of the measurement, then the price to purchase it will also go up. So if your new volume, your new sa'ah contains within it 20% more than the previous sa'ah, then the cost for that will be 20% higher. That would be normal market movements. And we're worried that they're going to cause an increase in the value or the payment more than it should have happened. It seems here that when the people are going to raise the price, they're not going to raise the price commensurate with the volumetric increase, but rather they're going to increase it more than the volumetric increase. So we're worried about here about unscrupulous traders or merchants who are going to take advantage of the increase in the volume and start moving up the prices more than they should because they have an opportunity to raise prices. And people don't realize that's 20% more in volume, 20% more in the price, and they'll increase the price 25, 30%, and you're going to cause inflation because of that price increase. That's the way the Miuchas Rashi explains it. In the Rashi in the Ketav Yad explains the problem is the mi she'enu yodea, someone who's not aware of the fact that Tosafei Amidot, that they increase the volume of the measurements, savor derav ba'le olam, that he thinks that there's a run on the market, umejiakir yoter v'yoter, you have runaway inflation. What ends up happening is the person sees the prices rising. Generally, when prices are rising, that's because there's a shortage of supply. There's demand and there's no supply. In their day, if there was a famine coming or there started to be a shortage of product, the prices in the market would start to rise. So for people, that was an indication of an oncoming ra'av, oncoming shortage. So then people would go and run on the market because they say, I got to get it before the prices keep rising. There's nothing left. Anytime people think there's going to be a shortage, everything starts to move and then there's an increasing frenzy for people to buy it. What Rashi in the Ketav Yad points out is you had a movement in prices. There's a wholesale movement up in all the prices. There's reason for it. It's rational. That's because they increased the size of the volume of the measurement. So when you increase the size of the volume of the measurement and then the people see the price going up, they're not going to think much of it. But there are going to be people unaware of the fact that there was a volumetric increase in the measurements, and they're just going to see the prices in the market start to shift up. And they're going to say, oh my goodness, they're running up because there must be some shortage coming. And that will begin this run on the market, which will cause runaway inflation. So that's the two possibilities that's explained. Either we're worried about unscrupulous individuals, or we're worried about a panic in the market that's going to cause inflation. The Gemara says about that, well, if you increase it by a sixth, why does that help you? Your explanation is relevant no matter how much you increase it. If you increase it a sixth, then they can increase it more. Or if you're going to increase it in six, people think there's inflation, there's a shortage coming into the market, and they're going to have a run on the market. Why does it matter that you capped it out at a six? So the Gemara shifts and says, the answer is because of ona'ah. Ona'ah is, the Gemara in Beis Mitzia tells us, that one is not allowed to overcharge for an item or undercharge for an item. There is a certain amount of deviation that we consider to be natural or acceptable deviation off the price, and that, Gemara says, is one-sixth. There were a number of different opinions, but the way that we paskin is that if the overcharge or undercharge was less than one-sixth, it's mechila. We assume that the person lets it go because that is an understandable deviation. It's an acceptable deviation. If it's above a sixth, then it's what's called bitul mekach. We annul the transaction. We say that it was a mistaken transaction based on improper assumptions, and the pricing was off, and therefore you have to annul the transaction. If it is exactly a sixth, then the Gemara there in Beis Mitzia tells us the transaction stands, but you have to give back, you have to refund the differential. Whether it's the overcharge or you have to make up the undercharge, you have to make up the difference. So what the Gemara suggests now is the reason they wanted to limit to a sixth was that they did not have to annul all the transactions, which is that if you make it one-sixth above the value that it was before, Then, if someone comes to the marketplace now, and they come with the new measure, and the mocher, for instance, is selling with the old measure. So he thinks he's selling at the old measure. The person who shows up has the new size of measure. So the merchant now fills up his new sa'ah, but that's really 20% more than the old sa'ah. But the merchant doesn't realize that and charges him the old price. Charges him based on the old volume. You're going to be off by a sixth. He's undercharging him by a sixth. And now the merchant has incentive to annul the transaction and say, I don't want this to happen. If you keep it within a sixth, then it locks the transaction and he'll just have to refund the money. The person, or you have to make up the differential. The person who purchased it will have to pay the difference, but you will not annul the transaction. The way that the Rashi says here, Miuchas Rashi says that we worry about Kadeshu Le'elo Lelokeach Malachol. We're worried about the purchaser having what to eat. He's buying bare necessities, and when he's buying food in the marketplace, and now there's Una'ah, you're going to annul the transaction. That means you have to give back all the food that he took. He's going to have nothing to eat because he's going to take it back. It's going to cause problems if you annul transactions with food. So here we limited the increase in the volume so that if there are mistakes in the marketplace, people not knowing either they're selling based on the new and the other guy is buying based on the old, or vice versa, all the transactions will stand. They will not be annulled. And then you'll have to fix the price differential. But at least in that way, you don't collapse the whole market afterwards and say all the transactions are invalid, or a large number of transactions are invalid because of the price change. So that's the reason why we wanted to do that. Now, the Gemara says, V'amar Rava, we again saw this earlier in the Masechta back on Samach Tet, Kol Davar Shebimida, Shemishkal Shebiminyan, anything that's sold volumetrically, by weight, by number, Afilu Pachot Mikdei Una'ah Chuzer, even if there's a small deviation, the transaction is annulled. The basic reason, and Rashi mentioned this back on Samach Tet, is because there's no mechila in that case. If you're selling something based on an exact weight, the person expects you to give them that weight. You go into the store and it says about the meat, how many pounds, how many kilo the meat is. You don't expect them to be off by a sixth on the meat weight. You expect them to get an exact weight and an exact price that's associated with that weight because they're giving you the weight. They're not saying it's about a kilo. They're saying it is 1 kilo. If that's the case, you're purchasing a kilo. If you deviate from that, the person says, that's a transaction mistake. That's a mekach ta'ot. I want to undo the transaction. Over here too, you're dealing with measures and you're saying mistakes are being made with measures. There's no mechila by mistakes in measurements because that's an exact type of transaction. You're dealing with exactitude in transactions, there is no mechila. We saw back on Samach Tet, the Baal HaTosfot discussed the Shita by Rashbam, that this only has application by Metalkalim, not by Karka, not by land. And the Baal HaTosfot disagreed and said that this even has application by land. Even though there's no Ona'ah by Karka, nevertheless, when you sell based on exact measurements or exact numbers, there will be Ona'ah, or at least a Mekach Ta'ot, if you somehow deviate from whatever the exact measure is that you gave. If you loosely sell the land and say, oh yeah, that vineyard over there is yours, then there's no ona'ah. On the other hand, if you go ahead and say the exact borders and measure out how many dunam it is, exactly what you're selling, then there will be a mekach ta'ot if you deviate from that according to the Baal HaTosafot. According to Rashbam, this is subsumed under the principle of ein ona'ah b'karkot, and even there will be no mekach ta'ot. But over here, where we're dealing with metalkalin, and there should be now a problem of mekach ta'ot. Ela mishum tagra. The reason is that we don't want the merchants to lose money. Keche delolim tayu diano. So they won't come to losses. So this goes back to what we said before. What is the normal profit margin that is allowed to a merchant? We said before that it was a shtut. 1/6 is the margin. Now if you look at the Mefarish over here, Miuchas Rashi, he says that this is only ba'ochel nefesh. This is only in basic necessities or the basket of basic items that a person would buy. So then, according to him, that's the only place where there's a cap of 1/6. Others think that this cap is more broad to all metaltalim, that it has broader application. Just as an aside, I'll mention that when we learned it in Bo'matzia, I noted this, and over here too, it's not so clear from the Gemara a number of things. That profit margin, what is allowed to be included in your cost in order to calculate the profit margin? There's one thing is the actual cost, the cost of product or the merchandise that you purchase. So that's the cost of goods sold. That is something that we can understand. Of course, you can add a margin on that. But there's labor, and there's SG&A, there's overhead. Can that be included in the cost of the item when you add to a sixth? That's not at all clear from the Gemara. The other thing is, the profit margin, how does that relate to ona'ah? Are ona'ah and the profit margin, in a sense, synonymous? And that is because the person is allowed to charge a sixth, or is ona'ah above and beyond the profit margin that you're entitled to take? So that you're allowed a profit margin of sixth, and then ona'ah is another sixth on top of that. Or is the profit margin and the ona'ah a synonymous term? And then the last thing we said was, where does this have application? Does this have limited application to ochel nefesh? Does this have broader application even to all metalkalim? This cap of profitability, where is it applicable? But at least here in our case, where we're dealing with basic food items, so we're dealing with a cap of a sixth. So the tagra, the merchants over here, at maximum are going to make a profit of a sixth or 20%. So now what happens is you moved up the volume on these individuals, and they're not aware of it. So they're selling based on the old volume, and the people are buying based on the new volumes. So they're actually buying much larger volumes. They're buying 20% more than they were, and then the merchant's only getting paid like the old volumes, because he didn't know about the fact that they increased the volumes. So in order that we protect them from losses, so we're saying that you can't increase the volume of more than a sixth, because that at least will leave him break even. He won't have any losses then. If you increase the volume by a sixth and his profit margin is a sixth, then the increased volume will wipe out his profit margin, but it won't cause him a loss. Mar says, Diana udolomte, Ravka lobai? So, okay, fine, he'll have no losses, he'll be break even. But doesn't he need to make something? Doesn't he need to be profitable? Zavan, vizavin, tagra ikre? Just because you buy and sell doesn't make you a merchant. If you buy things and sell them at the same price, you're not a merchant. You're break even, you're doing nothing, you're not making any money. So that's what the Gemara says. Great, you've now saved him from losses. But in the meantime, he's going to be break even on all his transactions, he's going to make no money. So that can't be a merchant, you're not really protecting him yet. You're protecting him from losses, but you're not protecting him to make money. He's not going to do anything, he's going to spend all his time invested in this, and he's going to make no money. Elam Rav Chista, Shmuel Kra Ashkach V'Dorosh. Shmuel found a posuk and was Doreshit. Not surprising, it's from Yecheskel, in the same psukim that we darshan before, and we're going to also darshan now this next pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk is Perek Memei, pasuk Yud Bet, it's in between the two psukim that we quoted before, and it says the following, Vashekel etzrim geira. The shekel is equivalent to 20 geira, or what's called 20 ma'ah in the Lashon of the Gemara. Each shekel is worth 20 ma'ah. They later on increased the value, and therefore a shekel in the Gemara is worth 24 geira, or 24 ma'ah to the shekel. So that's because they increased it by 1/6. Because if you take 20% of 20, you'll get 4. Add it on, it's 24. But Yechezkel has only 20. We'll get back to that in a second, because that leaves us with a problem in the Baal Tosafot. Then the next words in the Psukim are, Esrim shkalim. There's 20 shekel. Chamisha ve'esrim shkalim. 25 shekel. Atzara v'chamisha shekel, 15 shekel. Hamaneh iyalachem. That's the value of a maneh. Now again, a maneh to us, as we know at the time of the Gemara, is 100. It's 100 dinar that are inside of a maneh. Yet over here, if you look in Yechezkel, he's telling us, first of all, shekel equals 20 ma'ah, 20 geira. Then next, 20 shekel, 25 shekel, 15 shekel, that's a maneh. And now we're going to see in the Gemara in a second that Shmuel is going to interpret that as to be a sum. You take 20 plus 25 plus 15. 20 and 25 is 45 plus 15 is 60. And what we're saying here is there are 60 shekel in a maneh. So that's going to prove to be very difficult because we know in the time of the Gemara, shekel is equal to 4 dinar. If I take 60 shekel times 4 dinar, that's 240 dinar. I just told you before that a maneh is equal to 100 dinar. We're nowhere close to that number. And so that's what the Gemara is going to explain now. Maneh, matan v'arba'in avu. Wait a minute. But you're telling me that's a maneh, which is 100 dinar. You have 240 dinarim over here. That's what we just calculated. 60 times 4 is 240. Ela shmami na tulat. From this, you're going to come to three conclusions. Shmami na maneh shel kodesh kaful haya. That maneh of kodesh is double what a regular maneh is. So if a regular maneh is 100 dinar, maneh shel kodesh was double that amount, or 200 dinarim. So that solves one problem. Shmamina, mosifim al amidot, The second thing you learn from that is that you're allowed to increase both volumes or currencies, but you're not allowed to do it more than 1/6. Over here, they calculated it and they increased it. How do we know they increased it? Because it says 240 instead of 200. Now, how much was that increase? Shmamina, shtuta milabar. That 1/6 that they increased it was milabar, or the equivalent of 1/5. If you take 200 and you multiply it by 1/5, you end up with 40. 40 plus 200 is 240. That's how they got the increase. So now, if I go back and tell you what we have as givens, the pasuk tells us that 60 shekel equals a maneh, and we know that 60 shekel, given the information that we have, that it's 4 dinar, that means that you have 240 dinar equal a maneh. We know in Chazal that a maneh is only equal to 100 dinar, and we also, again, as we noted, know that a shekel is dal dinarim. So now what can you learn from this? If it's 100 dinar to a shekel, and you're telling me it's 240, the first thing you learn is Kodesh is double what Chol is. That gets you the 200. Number two is they increased the size of the currencies. In the time of Yerushalayim, there was an increase of 1/6. That increase of 1/6 then makes it that you have, instead of 200, you have 240. Or the equivalent would be, if you had 100 the Chol, it'd actually be 120 in the Chol. It would be 120 instead of 100 to a maneh, and it'll be 240 in Kodesh. Then we also learned the way that you calculate the sixth is milabar, because you're really multiplying by 20% or 1/5, not by 1/6. It's a sixth of the new number afterwards. So now, that solves our problem. This is the source for Shmuel, that the pasuk hints at this idea that when you do an increase, you only do it by 1/6. Now, the Tosafot raised the problem is, well, if they raise the size of the currencies, how come a shekel is esrim gera? Why is the shekel still 20 gerah, which is the size in the time of the Torah? You're telling me that they increased it in the time of Yechezkel and Yerushalayim, then it should now be 24 gerah, or 24 ma'at of the shekel. How come that's not the case? So the Baal Yad Tosafot give two answers to that question. And he says, V'teiretz Rabbeinu Tam, D'pa'mayim hosifu. They increased the size of the coinage or currency twice. Echad mibei Yechezkel, shosifu al-maneh shel kodesh. One in the time Yechezkel, where they dealt with the maneh of Kodesh Levado. Shayu Anun Slaim, it originally was 50 Selah. V'asohu Shel Shishim. And they moved it up to 60 Selah. That's something else to know, that the Selah of the Mishnah is equivalent to the Shekel of the Torah. The Shekel Kodesh of the Torah is equal to what the Mishnah calls a Selah. What he says here is the original was 50 Selah was a maneh. 50 times 4 is 200 dinar. And then they increased it to 60 selah, which is the equivalent of 240 dinar. B'shul b'mei chachamim osifu ala selah. Shayu esrim geira basu shel chavdalet. There's a second increase in currency, but that was the shekel of chol. That's where there they increased it from being 20 geira to 24 geira, 24 ma'ah. U'memeilo nitosef ha-maneh. Ben shel chol, ben shel kodesh. In the end, that the currency name was increased, not only on the Kodesh side, but also on the Chol side. That's the first answer Tosafot says, that there were different time periods. Now, this is always important because whenever you have currencies, if you increase all the currencies proportionally, then the ratio between them should not change. So it's obvious that they kept certain currencies static, and they moved certain sizes of coins up. Like in our case, they kept the maneh static, but they moved up the size of the coin. So maneh was still equal to 100 dinar, but then if you move up the size of a dinar, the value of a maneh then becomes greater because of the fact that you've increased the size of the dinarim. Tosafot in the first answer says the relationships only changed in certain areas. First they changed the relationship in Kodesh, and that was one increase. Later on they increased the relationship for Chol as well, so therefore it changed, and that's why in the Pesach and Yechezkel, the shekel is still equal to 20 gerah. Later on, it would be 24 gerah or 24 ma'ah when they move it up. That's one answer he gives. He gives an alternate answer to the question. He says, "Omeinu v'tam, v'od yesh lomar, sh'lo yale tosefet echad, sh'tosifu b'mei Yechezkel." All the increases were done together. It wasn't two stages, but all together. "Ololam maneh shel chol, shel chafei slaim." And a maneh of chol is always 25 selah, but shel kodesh is nun slaim. "Ela shosifu ala selah shtut." But then they moved up the selah, increased the size of the selah. So therefore, if you kept the same numbers, then it would turn out that now getting 60 selah for Kodesh and 30 selah for Chol. And at that time, they also increased the shekel to 24 ma'ot. That when it says there that the shekel is a srim geira, it's saying based on the old currencies, this is what it means. This is the 60 shekel that would be. And because in the new shekel, the kodesh remains 50 shekel like it was before. Just the size of the shekel is bigger. So now it's the equivalent of 60 old shekelim, the 50 new shekelim. But in the end, it was still that the manam kodesh was equal to 50 shekel. The only question is, which shekel were you using? It's the 50 of the old shekel or is it 50 of the new shekel? Well, 50 of the new shekel are equivalent to 60 of the old shekel. What he's pointing out is the calculation in the pasuk says 60, which means it's based on the old shekel. And the old shekel was also only equal to Esrim Geira. And in that way, he explains the whole pasuk that they increased everything at the same time, but it was all based on the previous currency. I mean, what's the new value in the old currency? That's how he explains it. Then the Rabbeinu Tam goes on to say, why does Yechezkel explain it in such a cryptic manner? It's 25 shekel, 20 shekel, 15 shekel, and those all together get you a manet. Just say it's 60 shekel in the manet. Why are you doing this convoluted manner? So the Rabbeinu Tam over here explains, Vishayulam shlosha mishkalot. They had three different measurements. Achat shel shlish manet, shel kodesh. One of them was one-third of a maneh of kodesh after it was increased. A maneh of kodesh was equal to 60 shekel. One-third of that is 20 shekel. So that's one measurement. One of them was the equivalent of a maneh shochol, which is 25 shekel, because 50 shekel is the maneh shel kodesh, 25 is the shekel shochol. V'chatshi revi'a maneh shel kodesh. The other one was a quarter of a maneh shel kodesh. Remember, a maneh shel kodesh is 60 shekel. One quarter of that is 15. So that's where the numbers come from. 20 shekel is a third of a maneh shel kodesh. 15 shekel is a quarter of a maneh shel kodesh. And 25 is a half, basically, of a maneh shel kodesh, or the equivalent of a maneh shel chol. The only problem with that is that you're using the basis for the calculation in two different ways. The 20 and the 15 are based on the new value. 60 shekel, one-third of 60 is 20, one-quarter of 60 is 15. The 25 shekel is half of the original number, because it's 50 shekel, and you're thinking half of that's 25. So half of 60 is 30. That's not what you have over here, you have a 50. So you're using different measurements. Now, according to the first answer of Tosafot, that works well, because they only changed the value of the currency in Kodesh, they didn't change the value of the currency in Chol. And therefore, yes, the Chol would be calculated at 25 shekel, whereas the value of Kodesh would be in the new, at the 60 level, and therefore actually this would work out perfectly if that was the case. According to the second answer of Tosfot, that the Kodesh and Chol were moved at the same time, then this calculation makes no sense. Why do you have some of them measured on the old system, some of them measured on the new system? So he just leaves that as a tzarach iun on that. There are others who say that there is symbolic meaning in this, and that is because the numbers that are given here are actually equivalent to the numbers in the Birkat Kohanim. Birkat Kohanim is comprised of three psukim, first of which is three words, second of which is five words, the third of which is seven words, and the first of which is 15 letters, the second of which is 20 letters, and the third of which is 25 letters. And those comprise the numbers here, because this is about the Maneh Shel Kodesh, which is the monies that go to the Mikdash and the budget of the Mikdash and the Kohanim was served there. And the return on that is the bracha that you get from the Kohanim. And so therefore it's hinting to the psukim in the Birkat Kohanim. That's al derech hadrush. That's such an easy way to explain the pasuk. So that would be the reason that you would have these numbers that are there in some way to explain why it was. Again, the Rabbeinu Tam tried to give a more practical reason, which is simply these were sub-measures of the total amount that were there. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Ravina. Matnita nami deka. Our Mishnah is Minduyak. Diktani todai ta ba chamesh sayim yushamiot shein sheish midbariot. That what we said that you can only move a sixth, that's from our Mishnah. The old six midbariot, when you increase the size by a sixth, the new sa'ah is five equivalent to the old six. And so you get it straightforward from the Mishnah. The Gemara was looking for the real source from the Psukim, but it says that our Mishnah is giving you that same piece of information. Next Mishnah. Mikulam haya notel echad. Now the word mikulan over here is somewhat problematic because mikulan suggests that you have more than one thing here. The way that Rashi explains it at the top, you can see, is lachmei todah. All the lachmei todah, hayinu tel echad me'asara. From all the lachmei todah, meaning all the different types, you take 1/10. The real truth is that in the Mishnayot, where they are in the Mishnah, the Mikulan might refer not only to the lachmei todah, it might also reference to the lechamim of the Nazir, and the Mikulan might reference to multiple items, not just the todah. But in the context of where we're reading it in the Mishnah over here, Mikulam sounds, and the most plausible explanation is like what Rashi says over here, that it means from all the different types of breads that you bring for the Todah. You know, tel echad me'asara, truma. 1/10 of it is a truma, meaning that's given to the Kohen. Shenemar, rekiv mimenu echad mikul kurban, truma la'ashem. It says by the lachmei Todah, rekiv mimenu echad mikul kurban, truma la'ashem, la'kohen. So the Kohen is doing the avoda. Question of what that means. We discussed that again in Zvachim. Exactly what that means and who gets it and who's entitled to get it. But it's going to be given to the Kohanim. And the amount that's going to be given to the Kohanim is one mikol korban. One of each korban. Truma l'Hashem. That will be the truma. Now, I've already given you information till now to already explain the Mishnayot and the Gemara that there are 10 units for each one of the minim. And that means if you're giving one of each of those minim, you're giving 10% or 1/10. That all assumes that you know that there are 10 units over here. The problem is we have no idea how many chalot or how many matzot come from each min in the lachmei todah. We're actually going to back into that in 1 second. But what we do know is that the truma, the gift that's given to the kohanim, is one. And the question is one of how many? And that's what we're going to have to determine over here. Echad, it has to be one shlo yitel prus, that we already learned before, that you can't give a portion of one, you have to give a whole one to the Kohen. Mikol korban, shehei kol korbanot shavot. So that it says from each korban means that all the korbanot over here mean all the different types of lechem that you have here, we're going to be equal. Shlo yitel mi korban al chavero. So that you should not take from one unto the other. So over here, it seems to me that this is all one drasha. You could actually separate the two of them. But we'll read it based on the fact that it's one explanation here, which is that since all of them are equal, you have to take off a truma from each one of them. And you can't take off double from one and then none from the other. You have to give one from each one of them. And since that one goes to the Kohen, that means that the residual, whatever's left over, is going to the Balim, to the owners of the Korban Shlamim. So Tan Rabbanan, now we're going to discuss that pasuk. Bikriv mimenu. It says you have to take from it. Mina mechubar. It has to be from that which is attached. Rashi, over here, right in the top says, Debeinan she'e kol ha'chalot biyachad b'shat truma. That all of the chalot have to be together at the time you take off the truma. That sounds like it has to be what the equivalent of what's called mukaf. They have to be close together. Rashi in the Ktav Yad adds an additional requirement, which is Sheikulan bekli echad litol truma. They have to be all inside of one kli when you take off the truma. Rashi in the Ktav Yad has a higher standard, which means it has to be all in one utensil when you take it off. The Miuchas, the Rashi, says that it has to be just that they're near each other or they're together in a unit. And the Baal Tosafot says something similar. They don't think that he has to be in a kli echad, although he says that there are other places in Shas that seem to indicate, like Rashi in the Ktav Yad, although he says maybe all it means is that it has to be mechubar touching, that they have to be touching, not that they have to be in a single kli. So that's like a middle ground. Miuchas, the Rashi says, they just have to be near each other, mukaf. The Rashi in the Ktav Yad says they have to be in a single kli. But those folks think that mukaf is enough. But they bring a possibility that maybe they have to be touching each other in order to be deemed mukaf. Echad, shelo yitol pros. So that's what we saw before. Echad means you have to give them a whole one. You can't give them broken pieces. Mikol korban. Sheikola korbanot shavot. Shelo yitol min a korban al chavero. So again, as we noted in the Mishnah, it seems that this is one halacha, which is that all of them have to be equal. And since all of them have to be equal, you can't take from one from the other. So you have to take off one from each type of bread that comes with the todah. Can't take off two from one and none from the other instead of one and one. To take them off, they have to all be equal. Truma l'Hashem. This is a truma l'Hashem. Eni yodea mikama hi. I know you're giving one. I don't know what the original number is. How do I know how many the one comes from? Is it 1 out of 3, 1 out of 4, 1 out of 10, 1 out of 24? What's the number coming from? Ereni dan. So I'm going to learn it. How am I going to do this? So Amar, Nemar kan Shuma, says here by the Lachmei Todah Shuma. But Nemar bit Shumat Maaser Shuma. The word Shuma also appears by Shumat Maaser. Mala alan echad maasara, afkan echad maasara. Just like by Shumat Maaser it's 1/10, so to over here it is 1/10. Oh, klach derech zo. Why are you so sure that that's the way to learn it? Nemar kan Shuma, but Nemar bikurim Shuma. It says Shuma here, and it says by bikurim that it's Shumat Yadecha, that you bring truma. So malalan ein la shiur. The bikurim ein lam shiur. You say that every morning. So just like the bikurim have no shiur, afkan ein la shiur. Maybe over here there's no shiur at all, just like the bikurim. Nira the midome. Let's see what it's more similar to. Danim mitruma, shein acharei truma, mitruma, shein acharei truma. You're going to learn something that is the final stage from something that is the final stage. Truma, here, where you take it off the lechem of the Todah, this is the last thing that's going to be given from these items. It's the truma that's given to the Kohen. The Kohen will not take anything off of it. And the Balaim also will take no more off of what they are given. Vayuchiach bikurim sheyesh acharem truma. Versus bikurim, which are just the beginning of a process. Once you take the bikurim off, the residual that you have there, you start having to take off truma gedolah, masrot. You have a lot of other items that you take off afterwards. It's not the final stage. Versus Trumat Maser, which is also a final stage. The Maaser Rishon is given to the Levi, and the Levi takes the Trumat Maser off and gives it to the Kohen. The Kohen doesn't have to take anything more off, neither does the Levi. That's the end of the process. So we're going to learn from end of process to end of process, and that makes more sense. So that makes more sense to compare it to Trumat Maser than to Bikurim. So why don't you learn this? Danim Trumat Nechelet, Bimakom Kadosh, Mitruma Nechelet Bimakom Kadosh. Let us learn from something that's eaten in a holy place, from something else that's eaten in a holy place, meaning that Lachmei Todah have to be eaten inside of Yerushalayim, the Kodshei Kalim. Bikurim also have to be eaten inside of Yerushalayim. V'altiyahuyach Trumat Maser, she'nechale b'chol makom. Trumat Maser is in the Gvulin. It has no limitations. It can be eaten anywhere. As long as it's eaten by a Kohen, it can be eaten anywhere. So how do I know which one to compare it to? Tomalomar, mimenu truma lashem. So there are actually more words that are parallel here, which is that it says by trumat maser, bikrim mimenu truma lashem. We're skipping some words in between. And by trumat maser, it says mimenu trumat lashem. But the word mimenu and truma lashem appear in both places. Zereshova, lamanu le truma shiachad measara. So therefore now we know it's 1/10. Because just like Trumat Maser is 1/10, so too over here, the Truma of the Lachmei Todah will be 1/10. V'eni yodea mikama hi chala. But now I don't know what the volumetric size of these chalot are. I know I have 10 of them. I don't know how much is in each of them. Hareini dan. Nemar kan lechem, v'nemar lahan b'shtei lechem. So it says over here lechem, and it also says by the shtei lechem of Atzeret of Shavuot, lechem. So the word lechem is used in both places. Here it says, achalat lechem chametz. So there is lechem chametz over here. And by the shtei lechem, it says, mimosh v'techem taviu lechem tnufa. So the word lechem appears in both cases, and the truth is the word chametz appears in both cases. Malahalan isaron lechala. By the shtei lechem, we know that there are shnei esronim for shtei lechem. That means each lechem is one isaron. Afkan isaron lechala. So to over here, one isaron will be for each chala. That means if you have 10 chalot of chametz, it will require 10 isaron. Oh, klach l'terach zo. How do you know that's the right way to learn it? Nemar kan lechem, v'nemar lechem panim lechem. The word lechem is used here, but the word lechem is also used by the lechem apanim. Malahalan shnei esronot. Just like over there, there's 2 isaron per unit, because it's 12 lechamim for the lechem apanim. And 24 isaron. It says that there's 2 isaron for each lechem. So if that's the case, shnei isaronot, afkan shnei isaronot. So to over here, you do 2 isaron for every lechem. That means that'll be 20 isaron for the 10 chalot of chametz. Nira elami doma. So now we'll see which one it's more similar to. Danim mincha ba'a chametz ima zevach. Mincha ba'a chametz ima zevach. Both cases by the todah and by the shtei lechem, they accompany a korban. And they are chametz. So those are 2 things that are in common between them that make them extremely similar. That the todah comes with the lechem chametz, and the kvasim of atzeret, the shlamim of atzeret, come with shtei alechem. They come with lechem chametz as well. So therefore it makes more sense to compare it to the Shtei Alechem than it does to Lechem Apanim. V'ayuchiv Lechem Apanim, she'no bak chametz, im azerech. It doesn't come chametz, it's only matzah, and it doesn't come with a korban. Or maybe we should look at it this way. Danim mincha ba ma'aretz u'bechutz la'aretz. Min ha'chadash u'min ha'yashan. Mincha ba ma'aretz. V'chutz la'aretz min ha'chadash u'min ha'yashan. Both the lachmei todah and the lechem apanim can come from grains of Eretz Yisrael or grains of chutz la'aretz. They can come from new grains. Chadash over here does not mean before the Omer. It means chadash, the newer grain. This year's grain after it's been nitar yaday the Omer. And for the Migdash, Ayidei, the Shtei Alechem. Or they can come from old grains. Anything is ra'ui for Lechem Apanim or the Lachmei Todat, that they have in common. The Shtei Alechem have to come from the new grain, has to come from this year's grain, and has to come from Eretz Yisrael. That's something that's different. So how do you know whether to compare it to Shtei Alechem or to compare it to Lechem Apanim? The Pasuk by the Shtei Alechem says, Mivosh Lechem Tavi'u Lechem Tnufa Shtaim Shnei Asronim. Solitiana, Kameitz Teafena, Bikurim Lashem. And what they point out over here is that the word Taviu is extraneous. In the pasuk right before it, you recognize it. It says, Bikravte Mincha Chadasha Lashem. At the end of the 50-day count of the Omer, you bring in Mincha Chadasha Lashem. But there it says, Bikravtem. And then over here it says, Mivoshechem Taviu. Why do you have to bring it again if you already brought it? Bikravte Mincha Lashem. So that word Taviu is extraneous. You didn't need to say the word taviu. So then why does it have that extra word taviu? Anything that you bring in the mikdash from something else has the same din. Just like by the Shtei Alechem, each chala is equal to one isaron. Afkan isaron lechala. So to over here, every chala will come as one isaron. So imala halan shnei esronot, afkan shnei esronot. So why don't we say, if you make that comparison, say it's capped out. Just like by the Shtei Alechem, the maximum amount is two Yisaron. So yes, it's one Yisaron for each Chalah, but the maximum is two Yisaronim. That's the way it phrases it. It says Shnei Yisaronim. So maybe by the Chalot, Chametz of the Todah, you'll be maxed out at two Yisaronim. Two Yisaronim divided up by 10. So now each one of them will get 0.2 of an Yisaron. So how do you know that it's one Yisaron? The Gemara says, Talmud Lomar Tiyena. Tiyena comes to teach you that the ratios are the same. One Chalat to Yisaron, and over there by the Shtei Alechem you don't need it because it's explicit, so then we're going to take it from there and apply it by the Chalot of the Lachmei Todah and tell you that that one Yisaron to Chalat is also relevant there. And if you have 10 Chalot, then you have 10 Yisaron for the Chametz. The Gemara says, Lamanu Asara LaChametz. So now we know that you have 10 Yisaron for the Chametz. Asara l'matzah minayim. The Mishnah told us, just like there are 10 Yisaron for the Chametz, there are 10 Yisaron for the three different types of matzot. How do you know that? Talmud Omar. The Pasuk says by the Lachmei Todah, Al Chalot Lechem Chametz. When it describes the three different types of matzot, it says, Imal Todah Yakrivenu, Yakriva Zerach Todah, Chalot Matzot Bilulot Bashemen, those are the Chalot, matzah. Rikikim atzod mishuchim bashamen. Those are rikikim that come with it. And then it's solet murbechet chalot bulo bashamen. That's the rivucha. Those are the three different types of matzot. The next pasuk says, al chalat lechem chametz. Those come on top of, in addition to the lechem chametz. There's a parallel drawn between the chametz and the matzot. So if the chametz equals 10 yisaron, then the matzot, all three types of matzot, cumulatively, will equal the chametz. So if the chametz is 10 yisaron, then all of the matzot together are also going to equal 10 yisaron. Dimsu asrim esronot lachmei todah. L'manu asra lachmei. Neged chametz avei matzah. For the equivalent that you have for the chametz, bring the matzot. Nimtzu'u. Now we have the conclusion from all of this in the Braita, Esrim Yisronot Lachmei Todah, that the Lachmei Todah are comprised of 20 Yisaron, Asara Lachametz, 10 Yisaron for the chametz, Asara Lachametz, and 10 Yisaron for the matzah. Yochol Asara Shebematzah, Lo Yekulan Ela Mimin Echad. You would think that the 10 by matzah, maybe they should only come from one type of matzah. Talmud Omar, Imal Todah Yakrivenu, Bikriva Zevach Todah, Halod Matzot Bulo Bashemen, that's one. Two, solit mur bechet chalot b'lo b'shemen. That's number three. Nimtzu shlosha esronim u'shlish l'chol min v'min. Well, if you have three different types, and you have 10 isaron, then each type's gonna get 3 1/3 isaron. V'shalosh chalot isaron. And that means within each type, if you have 10 chalot, every 3 chalot are gonna equal an isaron, or the equivalent of each chala is 1/3 of an isaron. And for that, and now you get to the total number of chalot that are found by a todah, which is 40. You'll tell me an arba. From those 40, you take off 4, which is 1/10. That's the 10%. Notain the kohen. Those 4 out of the 40 are the truma that's given to the kohen as his gift from Hashem from the lachmei todah. And the residual is eaten by the balim. So now the gemara is going to go back and dissect the braita and take out pieces from it. Amar mar, v'yikriv mimenu min hamechubar. Again, we had different interpretations. Either it has to be mukaf, near each other, in a kli, or touching each other. Elmi'ata dichtiv. What about when the pasuk says, v'et kol chelbo yarim mimenu? You have to take all the fats off of it. Hatamai mechubarika. Over there, what type of mechubar is there? Well, if you tell me the word mimenu means that you have to have it in one of these different manners that we described, what does that mean with regards to the taking out of the fats of the korban? Meaning that either, how do you have the whole animal still in one piece, or how do you have it be mukaf if the fats are going in the mizbeach and the animal's over here, or how are they touching when you're taking them out? So, k'derav chista merav yime, that's actually, there is something to this, which is, amarav chista merav yime, shalom yeteach basar kodam shitole murim. That you should not cut up the animal into pieces before you take out the fats. So when they take the animal apart to put it on the mizbeach, they do that after they've already taken out the fats. So they, according to Rashi, the havamina was that you took it apart and then you took the fats out and it wasn't mechubar. The answer of the Gemara is you don't take it apart until after you've taken out the fats. You have the whole animal, take out the fats, but only after you've taken out the fats do you start to quarter the animal and take it apart. Bali and Tosafot say, based on their explanation, the question on the other end was, why do I need a posuk to tell me that it's mechubar? If you're telling me mimenu is mechubar, of course the fats come out of the animal itself. So why do I need a posuk to tell me that? The answer is, because it comes to tell you how you take out the fats. You can't just take quarter the animal and then take out the fats. You have to first take out the fats, and then all afterwards cut up the animal into its pieces to be placed on the mizbeach. So now Gemara moves on and says, Amar mar, Nemar gan truma, v'nemar b'trumat maser truma. So we learn out from trumat maser that it's 10%. Mar says, v'il nelef mi trumat midyan. Why don't we learn out from the truma of midyan? In the battle of midyan, after they bring back the spoils, there's a tax that is placed on both the warriors, the chayalim that went out, as well as on the people who received a portion of the shalal. So over there, why don't we use those numbers to determine how much you have to give? And here, if you look in Rashi, the Miyuchas, the Rashi, Yavya Echad Minun, it's 1/50th, which is actually the ratio of the tax they use for people, and there were different taxations based on animals, money, gold, and people. So he says here, you're going to use 1/50th, which is actually the tax rate for the people who did not go out to battle that received the spoils. Now then, if you look in the Rashi and the Ktav Yad, he says 1/500th. So he also uses the tax on the people, but he uses the one for the chayalim, which was 1/500th instead of 1/50th. So we're asking, why don't you use 1/50th or 1/500th? How do you know to use 1/10? Because over there it's also called a truma. Our answer is, danim truma noeged dorot, mi truma noeged dorot. Truma maser is a halacha that is in place permanently, just like the din of lachmei todah. Truma Midyan was a one-time affair. So that's not going to govern for us how you take off percentages or trumot. Benelef mi trumat chala. Why don't you learn it out from the removal of chala, which is also called truma. So why don't we learn it out from trumat chala? Again here, the Miyuchas, the Rashi says, which is 1/48th. That is the commercial level of taxation for chalot. The Rashi in the Ktav Yad says it's 1 out of 24, which is the balabayit level of taxation for making of challah. A balabayit takes off 1/24th to give to the kohen. Commercial entities take off 1/48th to give to the kohen. But why don't we use one of those numbers? So Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, that what we saw before, that we use the Gezeirah Shavah, not of just Truma, but Mimenu as well. The Gezeirah Shavah is from Truma by the Lachmei Todah, which is, he kriv Mimenu Truma LaHashem, Devar Shenemar Mimenu Truma HaShem. That parallels that Mimenu Truma HaShem by the Truma Maser, Afuke Truma Chala, Dolomer Mimenu Truma LaHashem. By the Chala, the words Mimenu and LaHashem don't appear together with the Truma, and therefore the Gezeirah Shavah makes more sense to drive it based on Trumat Maser than Chala. Boi Rova. Trumat Lachmei Todah, Chayvin Alem Mita B'Chomesh, Oyin Chayvin Alem Mita B'Chomesh. Rova's question in essence is, how Truma-like is this Truma? Is the word Truma just a borrowed term over here to tell you what percentage you're taking off, which means 10% like Trumat Maser? Or is it a more literal term, that which is being taken off of the Korban now has the same status as Truma? And just like Truma and Trumat Maser, if a Zar eats them, there's a din of Mita Bidei Shemayim. And if he has to repay the Kohen for it, he has to add on an additional Chomesh. So just like those of the Lachot by a regular Truma, that's true of this Truma by the Lachmei Todah. Or again, do we say it's just a borrowed term to give you the percentages? Kevin de Itkesh the Trumat Maser, to Trumat Maser Dami. Since there's a Ekesh to Trumat Maser, do we deem it to be like, exactly like Trumat Maser? Odilma, Bo, V'chamishuto. Or do we say that, Umetu Bo Ki Yochaluluhu, the Dina Mita Bidei Shemayim for Truma is Bo, only by this Trumat Dagan, not by the Truma of the Lachmei Todah? The same thing with Chamishito. That's also a possessive form that tells you maybe that extra fine only applies to Trumat Dagan, not to Trumat Lachmei Todah. And therefore, Miyet Rachmana, it left it out. And now extending that question, Midamat, Oeinu Midamat. Does it create Dimua? Dimua is when it gets mixed up with Chulin. Mina Torah, everything is Batel Barov. So if you have a majority of Chulin and minority of Truma, it would be Batel in there. The Chachamim nevertheless extended that and said for Truma, it has to be 100-1 in order to be Batel. So that's the question here. When this Truma of the Lachmei Todah fall into Chulin, how is it governed? Is it governed by regular dinim of Bitol, which is Rov? Or is it governed by the rules of Truma, which is 100-1? Again, the question is it Truma? Or is it just we're learning from Truma the percentage you take off? Teku, the Gemara leaves that as an unresolved issue. It doesn't know how like Truma it is, how literally we take the fact that it's called Truma. Amar Mar, Talmud Lomar Tiyena. How do you get from the word tiyena that has to be one isaron per chala, 10 esronot? The Gemara said, oh, tiyena. Tiyena is an extraneous word. That's how we learn it. Gemara says, what's the limud for 10? How do you know the word tiyena? It teaches you that you should have one isaron for each chala. Tiyena k'tiv. The word tiyena is written with two yuds in it. And therefore, as Rashi here and the Rashi in the Ktav Yad suggests, that between yudin, the chad yud, miyata, ate lachmei todah. The extra yud comes to teach you that you have 10 isaron, or 10 chalot chametz by the Lachmei Todah, each one of which is comprised of an isaron. That's learned out of the extra yud that is found in the word tiyena. So Gemara says over here, ema asarak vizei. So when it says 10 there, how do you know it's 10 isaron? Maybe it's 10 kvizei. How do you know what volume you are dealing with? Meaning that a kvizei is a half a kav. So maybe it should be 10 half kavim. How do you know it's 10 esronot? So Marava be esronot di berakatuv. Contextually, that's what the pasuk is speaking about. The pasuk is talking about shtayim shnei esronim solet tiyena. So the reference of tiyena is back to the shnei esronim. The measurement in the pasuk is esronim. As the Baal Tosfos point out that in Rashi, in his what is called sefer muga, his girsa o were fixed up. He leaves out this whole line here because it's so obvious the fact that the 10 is talking about 10 esronot. Because that's the topic of the pasuk. Tosfos later on then questions this ability to learn it from the extra yud, because he says the word tiyena with two yuds is just plural versus yachid. Tiyena with one yud would be singular. Tiyena with two yuds would be plural. So then how can you darsh in the extra yud here? It's not an extra yud. It's needed because of the rabim. And then he says in addition that imi yud yofina, and if you're learning out of the 10 here to tell you that they're 10 esronim, then why don't we learn the 10 chalot from there as well? Why do we have to go to the gzer shava of truma truma to learn 10 chalot? We can learn the number of 10 from this pasuk over here as well. So therefore the Baal Tosafot are less sanguine about it being a limud from the extra yud, and rather learn it out from the context saying tiyena. The shnei esronim that are mentioned in the pasuk of shtei alecha, tiyena. They're the only thing that is two esronim. But everything else will then match up of a isaron techala and have more than that maximum of shnei esronim. And that's how the Balei Tosfot learned from the word tiyena, that limud. L'madnu asara l'chametz, asara l'matzah minayin. Again, the Braita said that we know now 10 for chametz, 10 for matzah, how do we know? Talmud lomar achalot lechem chametz. Keneged chametz havei matzah. Equivalent to the chametz, bring matzah. Gemara asks, v'chi davar l'mei behekesh, chozer m'lamei behekesh? Wait a minute. How do you know that matzah is 10 esronim? Because it's born through a hekesh. It says by shtei lechem that each challah is an isaron. And through the hekesh of lechem chametz, you're telling me that over here by the chametz, it's one lechem to an isaron. And that's how you get to 10. How do I know then that matzah is equal to chametz? Another hekesh between al chalat lechem chametz, which is that the matzah is on top of the chametz that you brought, which is another hekesh. That's a hekesh to hekesh. And we know in Kodoshim that ein lomdim hekesh to hekesh. There's no such concept as hekesh to hekesh. How do you do that? It says, emenu davar acher hu. It is it and something else. Echol emenu v'davar acher lo be'hekesh. Anything that's emenu and davar acher is not called a hekesh. So here, the Miuchos Rashi brings two interpretations as to what that means. I'll bring the second one because I think that's the more likely one, which is the world of Todah is all one world. There's really only one hekesh here. The hekesh between the shtei lechem to the lechem chametz. The fact that we learn from lechem chametz to matzah is not an additional hekesh because the world of Todah is one world. So the chametz and the matzah of Todah are a singular unit, and so therefore there's really only one hekesh, that's between shtei lechem and Todah. Once you get into the world of Todah, that's an internal world, and that's not classified as being an additional hekesh. That's the second way he explains it. The first way that he explains it is, Iyavim melamei chametz ala matzah oto davar atzmo shulamei min shtei lechem yisroon lechala matzin lemeimar. It says that if you are taking the hekesh, which is, we learn chametz from the shtei lechem, and what we're learning from that is the one isaron to chala. Then I'm learning from chametz to matzah. I'm not learning the same information. I'm just learning that there are 10 esronim. There's 10 isaron by chametz, now 10 isaron by the matzah. That's not the same piece of information I learned from the shtei lechem. From the shtei lechem, I learned that each challah gets one isaron. Now from the challah to the matzah, I'm learning 10 isaron to 10 isaron. It's a different limud. So that's a menu of a davar acher. It's a hekesh. And then from that hekesh, I'm teaching another piece of information. It happens to be a derivative of the first hekesh, but it's not the same piece of information, and therefore it's not called a hekesh. So Gemara says, okay, that works well. Hanichu l'man d'amar lo habi hekesh. That works well according to one who says that such a limud of hemenu v'davar acher is not called a hekesh. L'man d'amar habi hekesh, the one who says it's still called a hekesh, now you have a hekesh lekesh, what are you going to do? Ma'ikul l'meimar? Taviyu ribuyehu. That's the same taviyu that we saw before, which is a ribuy, to tell us that it's more inclusive. According to the Miuchas Rashi over here, he says that the word taviyu was unnecessary. It is similar to what we say by Gzeirah Shavah. We have Gzeirah Shavah, we say that it's if it's written in the new Parsha. We learn something through Gzeirah Shavah, it's not that the other Parsha has it and now we have this information. It's equivalent of it's literally written in the Parsha now when you have Gzeirah Shavah. And what he's suggesting is the same thing is true here. The Taviyu, which is extraneous, is as if it's written in Lachmei Todah itself, that it's Yisroel B'chala. It's not like there's Ekesh from Shtei Lechem to Lachmei Todah. So originally we thought that the word Taviyu was just indicating to us that we should favor the limud of Lechem Lechem from Shtei Lechem versus the Lechem Apanim. Now we're saying that the word Taviyu makes it as equivalent to like a Gzeirah Shavah of sorts, which means it's as if it's written in the Pasuk itself by the Lachmei Todah. And once you have that, you've eliminated the Hekesh aspect of it. The word Taviyu makes it as if the information is written directly in the Parshia of Lachmei Todah, and therefore when I learn from the Chametz of Todah to the Matz of Todah, that's the first Hekesh. Because the other information is as if it's literally written in the Parshia. Alright, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Chet, Amud Aleph.